Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
The Mike Glennon era begins. What? Oh, I'm sorry. Was that unnecessary? Hi, 612, Steve Cochran Show. On Andrea Darlis' birthday, happy birthday.
Thank you, Steve.
Show number 965, always significant for your birthday.
It is, right?
And we'll have some excessive presentational gift situations and birthday stuff coming up later.
Oh, you guys don't have to. Okay.
Does this mean we have to wait for cake?
Steve was
cake
so happy
arrive
today.
At any time.
Steve was so happy today. I said, "This is so great, Steve." He's like, "Yeah, I'm just ready for cake."
We should probably get like a regular cake delivered every day. I mean, somebody's always has a birthday. It doesn't have to be on this show.
Yeah, it's really not a bad idea. Like a cake of the day club.
A cake of the day club.
I wonder if they have
cake
those.
Of the month for sure.
Yeah,
they have that.
We have two cakes today.
The other one's for?
For Andrea.
It is? Yeah.
My wife sent one.
Karen.
It's different from Mary's. There's enough variety.
Well, we could have one of those church things where everybody walks in a circle and the last person sitting gets a cake.
Yeah, right.
Is this a kale cake?
No.
Right. No, Steve, Karen likes me.
My wife made it.
Karen's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she sends the good food out. She keeps the crap at home for Dave to eat.
Wait a minute, Mary Vandeveld made a kale cake for my birthday.
That's right.
It was delicious.
Yes. Delicious is a...
Let's,
you didn't even have a piece.
Nah, let's be clear. She did the best she could with gravel and grass.
That's right.
Yes, she did.
And applesauce.
It wasn't... Okay, yeah.
It was edible.
Mary's effort was awesome, though.
I didn't have any, but I'm told it was edible.
It was good. Bennett had like two pieces.
Well, the real test is, did Gruzanich have any?
Bennett's a... No, of course not.
You were on a diet then.
Bennett's a goat. Bennett will eat anything. The idea that Bennett would be the reference for anything food-wise. I mean, if it's not moving, he'll eat it.
Yeah, he's still growing like a weed.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Seriously, that guy could eat a CTA bus and not gain a pound.
Yeah, which is great.
Yeah.
Really happy for him.
He's not like a girl.
This is also the anniversary of Sandberg and Pat Boyle Comcast Sportsnet.
When she became Mary Sandberg Boyle Comcast Sportsnet, yeah.
Right. Aww. Right.
Already,
happy anniversary,
boy. Tomorrow.
Mary.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah.
That went fast.
Is this 2 years?
1 year.
Oh, it's a year?
Remember you didn't officiate the wedding?
Well, that's why I don't know what yours is.
Yeah, you
were supposed to go, and yeah. Mm-hmm.
No. Let's be clear on something. I wasn't supposed to go.
Officiate.
No.
Hey, Mary.
No, I was not invited.
He was never asked.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
Gone anyway.
Yeah. Control the board.
Uh-huh.
Lou's coming up. If you have a question for Lou, you know the deal. 312-981-7200. That's the number to call. Get in line now as we do the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. American Weathermakers, the home of the 60 Minute Man.
Bears lose. What was final score, Dave?
24-17, Denver.
I was on pins and needles for the two series that I watched. Mike Glennon started the game how, Dave?
Let's see. He started the game, the third snap of the ball game. Mm-hmm. He was trying to get the ball to tight end Zach Miller. And
Zach caught it for a touchdown.
Boy, wouldn't that have been
That's not what happened.
So nice. That's not what it was. I believe third and eight. And it ended up in the arms of Chris Harris Jr.
Who's he play for?
The Denver Broncos.
Ooh, that can't
and
be good.
And he rumbled. There used to be a Chris Harris who played for the Bears.
Mm.
So that would have been good. Except
but the guy
he hasn't played for the Bears for
the guy
years.
In the orange and white caught it.
Yeah, the guy in the white jersey. And he went 50 yards the other way for a touchdown.
And that would be on the third official Mike Glennon pass?
It was at exactly 14 minutes to go in the first quarter.
Mm. Not great.
Not a good way to start. Glennon.
But the thing is, he's the quarterback. The kid that came in later has got a lot to learn.
Correct.
You know, the kid that came in later, I'm sure he stunk it up big time. What happened to him?
Well, Well, after Glennon went 2 of 8.
By the way, Dave's live at Soldier Field.
Yeah.
Yes, and it, things are pretty well emptied out here.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Glennon, 2 of 8 for 20 yards, a rating of 0.
And an interception.
And the pick 6. Yes. And then Mark Sanchez played a little bit. He went 1 of 4 for 4 yards.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And then the rookie, the first-round pick, Mitchell Trubisky.
Right.
Started out 10 for 10 passing.
10 for 10.
Led the Bears on 3 scoring drives.
He did.
He finished 18 of 25 for 166 yards. His rating of 103.
Uh-huh. And didn't Glennon also lose a fumble?
Well, it was a bad snap.
Not a great start.
But he was commanding the offense.
You're at Coach Fox after moment. The game because, you know, I thought he summed it up best when he went,
His exact quote was, "We're not going to be changing the depth chart right now."
Well,
not after one preseason.
Here's
game.
The most idiotic thing you're going to hear if you ever listen to sports radio. If you listen to sports radio today, you're going to hear a bunch of panting sports talk show hosts trying to create a quarterback controversy over the first preseason game.
Right.
Take a breath, Bears fans. It's one game.
What if?
And by the way, it's one preseason game.
And what if Mitch Trubisky had gone out there and been terrible last night? People would have been.
Then there would have been a quarterback controversy.
They would have been ready to run him out of town.
Yeah, there would have been. So. There would have been bring Cutler back.
Yeah.
That's item number one. Item number two. Fear is what drove stocks down yesterday. The NASDAQ lost more than 2%. The S&P fell 1.45%. What's the fear? Well, the fear is that the investigation of the president is getting more intense, more serious. Will he be in office for 4 years? Will he be in office for 4 more months? And if he leaves office, will the regulations that are supposed to go away that have spurred this Wall Street drive, will those still be in effect or will they go away? Wall Street doesn't like this sort of unsettling behavior.
Volatility?
Volatility.
Yes.
Yes, but you have to say it like you really are committed to it. Volatility. CNN has fired the guy with the wacky hair, Jeffrey Lord. Jeffrey Lord is a diehard Trump supporter. He got into a back and forth on Twitter with Media Matters, a liberally biased media critique site, and he sent them a picture of a Hitler salute with Sieg Heil.
Isn't that nice?
Sorry. Well, like, listen, Jeffrey Lord's a blowhard, but I don't think he's a Nazi. I think he did a stupid thing, and CNN has every right to fire him, and that's what they chose to do. It is what it is. Everybody overreacts to everything, except for Trump. And everybody underreacts to Trump in my world.
Did you see what he tweeted again? He said he was misunderstood, and he was mocking fascists.
Yeah, which I think he was doing. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. You know, my TV feels better that Jeffrey Lord's not on it anymore. And he seems like a nice enough fella, misguided, but a nice enough guy. I wish him nothing but the best as he goes forward into whatever he does now. Also this morning, President Trump is inexplicably thanking Vladimir Putin for expelling U.S. diplomats, saying, quote, "Now we have a smaller payroll." The point was made on CNN this morning, and I agree with it, that every single opportunity that President Trump has had to comment negatively about Vladimir Putin, he has never taken it.
No.
Never. He's never taken it once. And you've got 700-plus families who are coming back to the United States who had lives in Russia because that's where they worked, who now have to come back and they have to find schools and they have to get places to live and they have to do all those things. And jobs, well, that's a little dark. Or, you know, I don't think the president...
They still have jobs. That's the point.
Yeah, the president doesn't understand how government works. Vladimir Putin doesn't control the government's payroll. And when they come back, they have certain protections and potential new assignments. But their lives were turned upside down, and now they're coming back. So maybe talk about that and not some alleged joke that you're thanking Vladimir Putin, because nothing about Putin's funny.
Former U.S. ambassador to Russia, remember Michael McFaul, had a great tweet. He said, "There's nothing conservative or Republican or patriotic about appeasing Putin," and basically saying and going on to say that he doesn't understand diplomacy.
You're talking about Trump doesn't understand diplomacy.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, and neither does Kim Jong-un. I get the two of them confused because they're more similar every day. U.S. and North Korea has grown hotter over the past few days. President Trump suggested his fire and fury threat may not have been harsh enough. Again, Vin Diesel, just play golf. you know, and let the others handle this. And finally this. Illinois could lose as much as $87 million in federal food stamp funding over the Cook County soda tax. There's a provision in the food stamps law that directly conflicts with what goes to the Cook County soda tax, which has been nothing but a nightmare since it was proposed and allegedly instituted. John Williams yesterday did an interesting thing where he sent one of his people over to Walgreens to buy a beverage, and they didn't tax it. And then he had a lawyer on that's suing Walgreens about the unequal and inconsistent way they are taxing it.
Right, 7-Eleven, McDonald's, and Walgreens, all named in different suits. It's you said it best. Since it was rolled out, it's been a nightmare.
It hasn't worked on any
purchases
level.
Made with food stamp benefits are exempt from the soda tax, but Cook County is still allowing many of those retailers to tax the purchases.
Hey, that's if you're looking to really be depressed this morning, Business Insider has a story about Chicago's economic black hole and that we'll never get out of it. Super.
Happy.
American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men, sponsor the Top 6 at 6. We're back with Lou after Mary, traffic, and some business.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Let's go to Lou. Manfredini, are you live at Channel 9?
I am.
How are things there?
Things are very active. You know, it's the back-to-school extravaganza.
Oh, that's right. They're all outside on the lawn.
Lots of people outside on the lawn. Happy birthday, Andrea.
Thank you, Lou, very much. Happy birthday. Appreciate that. You're so sweet.
And it's
21, yeah.
And it's Sandberg's anniversary today.
Tomorrow.
Really?
Oh, it's tomorrow? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Working for you or being married?
It's the same thing. being married.
Right. And it's a lot of similarities.
It's Mark Carmen's birthday today.
Happy birthday to Mark Carmen.
Well, he's not
here.
Oh, he's at his cult in Wisconsin.
He already ate my cake, Lou.
Oh.
I don't.
Mary so generously made.
He was crying. I had to give him a piece.
So Mark Carmen was here?
Yeah, he worked for Nick last night.
Yeah, he did the overnight show.
Yeah, I know, I heard it.
He was, I wouldn't say whining. I think that would be an inappropriate.
He wasn't crying, but.
Whining.
Unfortunate. I felt he should have a piece of cake.
Well, we have two cakes.
You're a giver,
here,
Mary.
If you want to swing by, we have two cakes.
Thanks,
Lou. Remember when we got in trouble for the cake?
No, what happened?
Cake Gate.
Was that a Langmeyer thing?
It was a Mary June thing that they got me a cake for my birthday, and it like blew up, and you dubbed it Cake Gate.
Oh, yeah, because they said we're no more cakes because unless we can do a cake for every, it was cake socialism.
Oh.
Unless we can do a cake for everybody, nobody gets a cake.
Right. It was pre-Putin.
By the way.
Pre-Putin.
By the way, that's the only time I ever disagreed with management.
That's right.
That was the only time.
I remember we took a picture.
It's more like cake shaming.
What is it, light on fire or something?
It's in the Museum of Broadcast Communications, that picture.
You don't remember Cake Gate?
I guess we were doing too many cakes, right? And
I
don't know what it was, but it was pretty funny.
It was followed a while later by Jeans Gate when Spike Odell was upset because he was told he couldn't wear jeans.
I remember that too. That was a major situation.
Right.
I remember Lou Manfredini dressing up like a bear.
A lot of people think this North Korea thing is a big deal. Yeah, Jeansgate.
Yeah, Jeansgate was
Jeansgate almost took down the Tribune.
Spike was so mad.
Remember,
big.
There was a whole break-in and then the...
Right. Somebody broke in and put a pair of jeans on Spike's chair to mock the fact that he couldn't wear jeans. Mm. Did he ever not wear jeans? Or did he just keep wearing?
During that time, but for a couple of days.
Yeah, like a week or something, he went with it, and then he said, nope.
He had to go buy a pair of pants that weren't jeans. Imagine how awkward that was.
He wore those big baggy pants that some guys wear to the Bears games, you know, with the big flower. Yeah. It's a real good luck. Yeah.
The Zumbas?
Zumbas. Yeah, Zumbas at the class.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Which I never go to. It'd be like you saying to you couldn't wear shorts and a golf shirt. Yeah.
Right. Well, that ain't happening.
Yeah. What are you wearing right now, Steve?
There'd be shorts and a golf shirt. And by the way, Lou, and you can identify with this because I don't know. I very much enjoy complimenting a woman on her looks.
Absolutely.
The efforts they make to look nice each day, because certainly I don't. And yet this morning, Sandberg and Andrea talking about their clothes and this and that. No, you look great. I'm sitting here in a brand new hat. Neither one of them noticed.
Wow.
Because, as Mary pointed out, you have so many.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Whatever.
And black, as also Sandberg pointed out, it makes you look slimming.
Black is slimming for my giant head. Yes, okay.
Right. Right, well, you look like right now with that hat on, I can see in the camera, you look like Beaker.
Yeah. Me, 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 me.
Hey, congratulations to Ace Hardware. And by the way, we just lost our caller because I was yapping. We need another first caller, 312-981-7200. That one apparently lost the will to live. 312-981-7200. First caller to ask Lou any question about your house, your home, your life, your love life, whatever. But congratulations to Ace Hardware. They're opening their 5,000th store.
Yeah, it really is something.
That's a lot of stores.
That's a lot of stores, but it's a, you know, the thing that's most amazing about it, as being a store owner myself and knowing many of these store owners across the country, they're all just really good people, and they're all invested in their communities, doing their own thing, and, you know, Ace is this sort of terrific partner in the whole thing, and it's fun to be part of, that's for sure.
Well, and I also want to congratulate Grandpa Sykes, Lauren's dad, because he also is an Ace Hardware.
Oh, really?
Big shot. Yeah. Yeah. So I'll have you look into his background information.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Maybe
I can look up
agent.
A store number.
He could be a secret agent. No, he's a corporate type.
Oh.
Big shot corporate type.
Got it.
But a really good guy. And all right, so we have a caller, and our caller's name is Jeff. Let's get this rolling here. And Jeff, for being the first caller, you're already a winner, Jeff. April Air Wi-Fi thermostat allows you to adjust the temperature of your home from anywhere you want. Right on your smartphone. It's brought to you by American Weather Makers, home of the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC. What's your troubles, Jeff?
Well, not troubles, but painting a deck this weekend. And we have it all finished and sanded and ready to go. And we're thinking about using one of these thick paints. Mm-hmm. And we're wondering if a bare paint would be a good thing to do.
So my only concern with you painting this is that we got all. Did you get hit by a bunch of rain last night?
You know, I know it says generally 3 days or so to let this thing dry out. We did get hit very hard.
You did or did not?
Did not.
Yeah. Here's what I would ask you to do. If you're still home, I want you to take a piece of Saran wrap and cover a section of the deck with a piece of Saran wrap and tape it down right over the top of the wood. And if in a few hours, if you see water beating on the backside of that Saran wrap, it's too wet to paint. Now, okay. I have heard mixed reviews about the Behr product in particular. If you were going to do some sort of deck over product, the two that I would recommend would either be the Rust-Oleum or the Penifin. Penifin makes a deck over product that's very good. But the critical aspect in this is it can't be too hot. The wood's got to be pretty dry. And we want to make sure that you're not doing it in really hot temperatures and direct sunlight when you're applying the product.
So is this something better to do in the fall?
It absolutely is, because temps are cooler. It's a little bit drier. The whole idea with any of these deck over products, no matter whose you use, the preparation, the sanding, all of that is key. The moisture content in the wood is key, but the slower it dries, the more tenacious the coating holds onto the wood.
I've looked online and I've seen some horror stories about come springtime after snow has settled. See this stuff just peeling off the sheet. I don't want that to happen.
Right. So the sanding and the dryness is critical. And if it got rained on, even if it was for an hour, I wouldn't do it. It'll look great tomorrow night, but it's not going to last.
Well, maybe I can do something else this weekend and wait till fall.
Yeah, I would definitely do something else this weekend.
Yeah,
anything
go
else?
Go
to the lake. Go play golf. That's a great idea.
There you go.
All right, hold on, because we got to give you that Wi-Fi situation. You know, we don't hand out situations lightly around here. Let's go to the lightning round, Lou, for the texters.
Okay.
Lou, my girlfriend's back door has a lot of bees around it. What do I do?
A lot of bees around it. Wow.
Bees in the back door. I got bees in the back door.
Well, they're obviously attracted to something that is going on there. Here's what I would try and do is there's a spider spray that Wet and Forget makes called Mrs. Muffet's Revenge. It's not designed for bees, but it does leave a coating in. It leaves some sort of scent that pushes the spiders away. It may have an effect on the bees, and it's worth a try.
Mrs. Moffitt's
Revenge.
Revenge. All right. Well, that's interesting.
Cute name.
Steve, like I listen on my Amazon. I listed on my Amazon tap, but when I said Alexa play WGN radio, it played a hip-hop station. Lou, what can I do?
Steve, have you been? Well, he was probably listening to one of your rejoins.
Ah,
because you're so street.
Could be the case, but also Ice Bill Leff does a hip-hop hour now at 11 a.m. So maybe
right, on the stream.
Yeah. You can also play, say, play WGN News or play WGN Radio News and
right.
play it as well.
You could say stop playing hip-hop if you're not
too.
Into that.
Right. That'll work.
Hi, Lewis.
Can I tell you, I love the Alexa thing. We use it at our house all the time.
Sure. It's the new radio.
Yeah, it's great.
Hi, Lou and Steve. What's the best roof shingle to use when re-roofing the house? That's from our friend the Bear.
There's a lot of, you know, good manufacturers. I think that whether it's GAF, CertainTeed, a company called Elk, those are all really good brands. There's another brand called Tamco. I'm less concerned about the manufacturer as I am more concerned about the people putting the roof on. That's the critical point.
All right. Steve, got a brick home, told not to paint exterior. Brick exposed to weather, but the built-in sunroom on the north side of the home, that brick is not exposed to the sun. What's a good paint top control that wall?
I would never paint brick. There's just no going back.
Okay.
And so I wouldn't do it. I mean, if you want to change the look of it because maybe you don't like the color, there is a company, a professional company called NAWCAW. It's N-A-W. I believe it's K-A-W, NAWCAW. They actually stain brick and can change the look of it, but because there's a staining process, the brick still breathes, and you don't have to worry about the paint peeling.
Final question, Lou, in the 269, will baby powder stop my butt crack from squeaking when I walk?
It could, and you'll be much cooler on the hot days.
There you go. That's all you need to know. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about on TV?
Keeping rodents away. A lot of people complaining about skunks and raccoons and rodents, and getting a lot of emails about people that are getting squirrels and even rodents chewing the wires in their car and doing like $1,500, $1,800 worth of damage.
Squirrel!
Yeah. So I got some tips on that.
And, there's one now. American Weather Rick has brought you this. Thanks, buddy.
Love you.
Love you. See back. You. And we're back with the big story in a moment on the latest Trump North Korea tweet and what else is happening in that part of the world.
Fasten your seatbelt.
720 WGN. You know, we almost never celebrate birthdays on the actual days here because we always forget. Not in the case of Andre Darlis. Every year, bang! Right there.
No, thank you guys for that.
Right there on the day.
Nice.
And Mary Vandeveld, the director of all things traffic-related, and also the head pastry chef of the Steve Cochran Show.
I don't think I am for long. Karen Ennett has joined the group. Look at this ice cream cake.
She made an ice cream cake?
Don't get so excited.
Amazing.
Mary's here.
Oh.
Wait, let me just say, Mary's Portillo's chocolate cake is always phenomenal and great because you guys are always like, oh, do you want to get a cake? And I'm like, no, Mary, will you make it? And Mary's had a lot going on personally and, you know, with the family. So thank you guys for doing that.
Mm-hmm. So a couple of cakes made, an ice cream cake and a Portillo's chocolate cake, both for you
Thank
for your
you.
Birthday.
That's so nice. Thanks, you guys.
Right, double the cake. Of course, Mark Carmen already bit into this one.
What are you doing for your birthday?
Hey, she's like every 29-year-old. She's going to a water park.
How about that? I know Stephanie Menendez is planning for the station. You know, we do these work outings, these group outings. So we're going to the water park in Whiting, Indiana today, the floating water park.
Of course you are.
And then dinner later tonight.
Yeah, of course you are.
So it'll be fun.
You're all going to dinner after the water?
Well, no, not everybody.
I can't believe this radio station will be empty at noon on a Friday. What a shock.
It's team building.
You could come here in December at noon on a Friday, in February at noon on a Friday, and in August at noon on a Friday, and no one is in the building.
I will say the best team building is letting people leave the office.
Totally.
That puts everyone in a good mood.
Steve, wouldn't you have to be here at noon on a Friday to know there's no one here at noon on a Friday?
I'm only one man. Yeah. I can't stay here that late.
That's good.
Well, at 10:10, it starts clearing out. When we're done with the show and we go up there, it already looks...
Except for the newsroom, there's always people in the newsroom.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, there's always 14 more people than you need in the newsroom,
that's
and
true.
Only three of them are working.
Not on Friday, so...
That's true.
Yeah. The news continues, by the way, even if the staff isn't here to cover it.
Right.
The birthday plan, then, is the water park. Don't you have your mother buying you something for your birthday?
Is she
throwing you a party where your friends can come over?
No, she's taking me to dinner tomorrow night. We're going to go to the firehouse, the Chicago firehouse. Just opened up,
What's hip for birthday parties now? Laser tag? Bounce house? What would you like?
Water parks in Whiting, Indiana.
Yeah. That sounds about it.
What is hip now? Yeah.
Mani Pedis.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to do that, I think, next
week.
You could do one of those wine paint parties. Those are also popular.
Mani Pedi.
I'm going to one of those tonight. A wine painting, a sign party.
Yeah, but I get why it's a social thing, but it seems like the paintings will suck with the more wine you have, right?
It's going to be bad. I can't paint it to begin
I think
with.
You have to drink the wine to paint.
Don't they do a booze and pottery thing, too?
Oh, I'm not sure about that.
I'd love to go to that.
Yeah.
That's an afternoon with you and Dave Bennett, though.
Yeah.
You guys do your ghost reenactment.
They sit on each other's lap.
Booze and bomb making business didn't go anywhere.
No, that never
took off.
Not for Kim Jong-un either.
And then, Sandberg, you have an anniversary this weekend.
Yes, tomorrow's my one-year anniversary. Woo-hoo. I'm very excited.
Happy anniversary to you, Woo-hoo. To Pat. I mean, a lot of us said it wouldn't go this long.
I know.
But you had a full year.
I know, a full year. And we got through it even though you didn't officiate for us.
It's hard to officiate a wedding I'm not invited to.
Know,
it seems like
I
that
know.
Would have been wrong.
Hey, I have a question. Do you still save, is this still the tradition where you save the wedding cake and then you eat a piece a year later?
That's so gross.
So I do have...
you want to wait for the answer before you say it's gross?
We did take, we took cake home because they gave it to us because it was just a small wedding, but they surprised us with the cake. And you're supposed to save it, but I've been eating it throughout the year. So I have a wedge left.
Oh, so that's tonight then?
Well, technically tomorrow, I guess.
Tomorrow,
yeah. But it was so good. It's still good. Anything in the freezer can be, you know, a cold pastry.
Dicey.
By the way, somebody asked yesterday what you really wanted for your anniversary. Was it DiGiorno's pizza?
No, though DiGiorno pizza is very good. Well, first of all, Pat and I, for our anniversary, bought a new mattress firm bed.
Yes, there you go.
Yep. You already need a new one after a year?
That's
Mary, because we just started sharing a bed a year ago.
Yeah.
I'll get one of those this weekend.
Vandeveld working
so
blue.
Naive.
And we'll be married many more years because we have that new bed, and I can't feel him flopping around.
See?
We're going to dinner where we had our wedding last night.
At Chicago Cut.
Yep, at Chicago Cut.
What table will you be at so people can come by and say hi?
I'm not sure. I think we're going to be outside, but I think the first year gift is meat in addition to mattresses.
Meat and mattresses.
Yeah. Is that true?
And the kids... No.
Meat is the...
No, I think it's paper.
I thought it was silver paper.
It's paper.
Something like that.
Paper.
It is paper, and I wanted to save this as a surprise, but I got you and Pat couples origami, which I think is
nice.
Great.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And then the kids are going to be at dinner with us because we have the kids, and then we're kicking off our family vacation on Sunday morning. We're going to Wisconsin, so you won't see me for a few days. But last Saturday, Pat and I went on our anniversary date. He and I went and saw Darius Rucker at Ravinia.
Oh, nice.
And it was the most fun I've had in so long. If you haven't been in Ravinia in a while...
Outside of working here.
Yes. I would suggest going again. And we sat in seats, which I haven't sat in seats at Ravinia in forever. And it's so intimate. And he was so great. And Rodney Foster also played with him. And it was like, the sound is so good. And it's so clean. The bathrooms stay clean like all day and night.
And so I just think it's great.
It's a respectful crowd.
I just think it's great that Pat at his age is still trying.
Yeah,
that's tremendous.
Oh, trying. Yeah. Well, I set it up. But he didn't have anything to do with it. But we both loved Darius, so we stood there like all the other white people and sang along.
Did a little clapping.
Yeah, a little bopping and whatnot. So
do you feel that during the concert, Darius gets whiter?
No, he was so cute, though. And Pat,
he's a nice guy. Have you ever met him?
No. But
he's
Pat
a really nice guy.
Yeah,
really nice
guy.
I remember him when he was Hootie.
I remember.
And he had some Blowfish.
Yep.
He played some of those songs. He also sang some Garth Brooks. He's just the coolest.
Yeah,
so
that's good.
We really liked every single song I sang along. So if you were sitting next to me, it was very annoying.
And by the way, if you're going to Chicago Cut tonight.
Tomorrow night.
Or tomorrow night, I should say. Mary sings through the entire dinner.
I don't have a good voice. So anyway.
Final word from you?
I just want to say happy anniversary
to you
happy and your
birthday,
wonderful husband.
And
thank you, seriously, for planning this and just, you know, it's always nice to be here. I used to always take my birthday off, you know, so you do whatever you wanted to do.
Not anymore. I'm cracking a whip.
No, there's no place I'd rather be than with you guys.
It's
so much
fun.
Well,
that's very nice.
I'm serious. It's so much fun working with you guys. And thank you for making the cake, Mary. And thanks, Dave and Karen and Mike for the coffee. And you guys are the best. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Card. Well, I'll give you a card off the air. Sorry.
Okay.
I forgot about the card.
Where is the card?
You guys figure that out.
I love you guys.
I'll go ahead and continue with the show.
I love you guys.
Love you back.
Thank you.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Express yourself.
Friday, you like that, I know. It's 712. How you doing?
Express yourself.
Show number 965 on Twitter at Cochran Show. You don't never need help from no. Follow me on Twitter. I'm needy like that. And Steve Cochran Show on Facebook. I plan on tweeting up a storm, a tweet storm, if you will, all weekend. Here's the weekend planned I have. And I know you're saying, Steve, how do you do it? The stress must be incredible. I'm going to play a lot of golf and I'm going to tweet a lot.
You're going to be tweeting Fiery and Furious?
That's the new Vin Diesel movie that Trump wants to star in? Yeah. Joining us in studio now, and this seems appropriate as we celebrate your birthday. Spend a minute in women's shoes, would you? Dave, how about you? How about you spend a minute in women's shoes?
Okay.
How about we all as men try to reach out and understand a little bit better what women go through, what they have to do every day.
Yeah.
That's right.
To take care of us.
Do it.
This is why I always talk about, and this goes to you, Vanderbilt, as well. So I always talk about, you guys got to take care of yourselves.
Mm-hmm. You do always say that.
Don't leave it up to us.
We do.
We have screwed this world up many different ways, and we'll do it again.
Promise?
I think you may have noticed that Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump are, anyone? Not women. Mm-hmm. So, and this ain't about Hillary. This is just about taking care of making sure the women in your life are appreciated for all that they do. And we welcome in studio a couple of men to talk about it. Terry Cosgrove and Oren Jacobson. Terry, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Steve?
Where are you from, Terry?
Chicago, born and raised.
From as in organizational.
Oh, a Personal PAC. I am the president and CEO of Personal PAC, which is a bipartisan pro-choice political action committee to protect women's health. Yeah.
Very nice. I like that, obviously. And Oren?
Yeah, I'm the co-founder and executive director of an organization called Men for Choice. And we have a very simple philosophy: support women, educate men. We seek to engage, educate, and activate men to become part of the fight to protect and expand women's reproductive rights.
And I would also encourage men who are listening, if you agree with what we're talking about, share it with your sons.
Agreed.
Right. You know, and you think, well, my son's 7, 8, 9 years old. It's never too young to start learning about how to appropriately talk to and treat women.
Yeah, and this is a fundamentally a respect question, and that does start really with how we talk to our sons. And if you think about the way many boys are raised, you look around, go back to the start of this conversation, right? That's a cultural issue that we have. And so a lot of the work that we do is directly targeting those patriarchal notions and misogyny that's pervasive in our culture. And this is one of the main ways in which that comes out legislatively, is law after law across the country to rob women of their bodily autonomy and ability to make their own healthcare decisions.
I would say, too, that I feel like I've done a good job as a dad because I'm pretty sure Ross likes his mom better.
Yes.
So I feel like that worked out okay. Spending a minute in women's shoes, talk about that, Terry.
Sure. You know, I've been doing this work for a while, and you know, it's great to have Men for Choice partnering with us. But it always shocks me to see what women have to go through. For example, in the state of Texas, where they've shut down so many women's healthcare clinics that. For people to understand how personal this is that women in Texas have to travel the length of Chicago to Pittsburgh in order to get a mammogram, in order to get a pap smear, in order to get birth control, in order to access abortion care.
And the legislative hoops that they're creating, these fake laws that they're creating to make women jump through. Every time a man needs a Viagra, he ought to be able to have to do 75 or 100 push-ups. Let's start there.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. So that's a great idea.
So many companies our company is great, but many companies did not provide mammograms or, you know, women had to pay a portion of it anyway.
Well, but let's be honest. Recently, being a woman, you made that choice. That's a pre-existing condition.
Exactly, right?
It's ridiculous.
It is, yeah.
It's ridiculous what you're talking about.
To your point, both of your points, in the 1990s, we actually had to pass legislation in the Illinois General Assembly to require insurance companies to pay for prescription birth control. They were not doing it. And when Viagra came on the market, in a blink of an eye, it became available through your insurance. And the disparities that take place legislatively and prescription birth control is really important to the healthcare of women.
Oh, completely. There's a study that if you're on the birth control pill, my doctor had told me that you decrease your risk of ovarian cancer, which my grandmother died of, by almost half. And I worked for a company about 20 years ago. I had a condition. It had nothing to do with trying not to get pregnant. It was a condition where I had to be on this pill. So many women's conditions, cysts, endometriosis, things of that sort, and I had to pay for that out of pocket.
Right, absolutely. And 9% of women that are on birth control are not sexually active, and they use it for medical reasons.
Right.
And it's outrageous that the hoops that women have to go through, and even when they go into healthcare facilities, having demonstrators scream at them and tackle them. I mean, sure. it is, you know, I don't want to engage in too much hyperbole, but there really is a war on women going on out there. And, you know, women experience it every day. And what we're trying to do is to say to men, would you put up with this BS
right.
if you had to go through this to,
the answer is
to,
no.
to get a prostate exam, to get a vasectomy, to drive 260 miles? I mean, the Chicago Tribune did a above the fold article 2 weeks ago Sunday that talked about all the women that are coming to Illinois for health care. A woman who was carrying a pregnancy in Indiana whose fetus was not viable, she had to have this abortion to protect her life. She could not get that procedure in Indiana. She had to come to Northwestern.
See?
It was, yeah, to do it, to travel into another state.
And well, yeah. But here's the other part of that story. As much of a hassle that is, there aren't Northwesterns all over the country.
Exactly.
Right.
And the same thing that people go through in larger cities or with access to larger cities, they go through in smaller cities and don't have that kind of access, recreating a very dangerous situation. Yeah. And at the bare minimum, listen, even if you're on the fence about this, the law of the land is the law of the land.
Mm-hmm.
If it's chosen or it's, if it's changed at some point, well, maybe it's changed at some point. But if we're a nation of – you can't have it both ways. You can't go, we're a nation of laws and we have to live by the laws except the ones I don't like.
Right.
And for every demonstration I drive by in front of a clinic, what did those women do to you? What did they do to you? How is it any of your business? And how are you protecting babies' lives by showing these awful – horrendous pictures.
I agree.
To just tear people up who are going through some of the toughest things in their lives. And now that I'm on a rant, Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is not a birth control Costco.
Right.
Planned Parenthood provides health care services for women on every possible level that it's needed by women of every different economic level, and mostly for women who are middle class or maybe struggling economically.
And women who have just successfully had delivered babies, yes, as well. Counseling, babysitting.
Whatever's
it's
needed.
All kinds.
Or whatever's teenagers. They right. really need the help.
24% of American women use Planned Parenthood at least once in their lifetime. Yeah. It is, and more than that, it is the primary medical provider for a lot of women who live in rural counties, meaning they have their first they have their first blood pressure test at a Planned Parenthood. They have their first they have their first health exam, their first physical at a Planned Parenthood. So it's much broader than reproductive health care, although that is their mission, to make sure that women have access to the reproductive health care that they deserve and need.
Orin? Yeah, you mentioned two things I think are really important to call out. First of all, there is the law of the land, but these far-right groups and conservative legislators mostly filled with white men, are passing law after law to erode and create loopholes around and through those laws. More than 900 laws alone last year passed meant to rob women of the reproductive health care. They just shut down all but one Planned Parenthood right next door to us in Iowa.
I still will never understand how women's issues become political. I really don't. And the numbers that you guys released with this stat, too, with the stats, public policy polling, 3 out of 4 men believe that abortion should remain legal and a private matter between a woman and her doctor.
Well, here's the other thing, too, because you talked about this, and I'd be curious about Vandeveld and Sandberg and you.
Yeah.
Here's the one thing I saw in the midst of the healthcare debate. A bunch of old white guys with gray hair in a room talking about what women should do health-wise.
Right, and what defines a pre-existing condition for females, too.
But here's the problem.
Ridiculous.
There are a lot of women in the Senate.
There are quite a few, yeah.
Put them on the committee.
Right.
They're not even smart enough to put them in the photo op.
And what was one of the three main tenets that they had to have in that bill? Robbing Planned Parenthood of funding.
Right.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Right.
Which they say is defunding Planned Parenthood, but they're not defunding anything. They're just making sure that one specific provider of health care doesn't get reimbursed for the treatment and services that it provides to millions and millions of women. And there is no way that we wouldn't call BS if somebody was trying to do that.
And the insane part is, for every dollar that is spent on preventative health care, on family planning, it saves the state and federal government $3.
That's so, the pay me now or pay me later part.
So
of this,
it's the most, it's the smartest investment you can make in women's reproductive health care. And these people claim to be fiscal conservatives. That's the part that drives me crazy. And here they are doing all these things to make it more expensive and not to mention more dangerous for women to access their health care.
Right. And this isn't just happening in other states. We've talked about Texas and Iowa. go right down the street into the West Loop on a Saturday morning at 6:30. Park your car and watch as women and men walk into family clinics.
Right.
And watch the way they are harassed.
Which is reprehensible.
We literally
have
to have...
You're going for a mammogram or you're going for medication.
Well, here's the way we... If we have to live in a world like that, here's the way we even up. At every proctologist in Chicago, there would be women standing outside going, "Hey, what's wrong with your plumbing? Yeah. Huh? Hey, tough guy."
But the difference is they're telling you you're going to hell.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and, depending on your plumbing problem.
Yeah.
Look, we all need to be nicer to each other. We all need to be more respectful of each other. And we're not doing a very good job of it, especially lately. But I like your passion about it. And again, if we're not taking care of encouraging, because you're going to make your own decisions. I don't know if you know this. And Vanderbilt, you know this, I think. But Andrea, Sandberg, it's not just Sandberg. You guys are in charge. You guys think you're not in charge. You're in charge.
Yes.
Yes, we are.
You just got to beat back the politicians who think they're in charge.
That's right.
But it helps to have men like these two fighting for us.
Absolutely. You know,
I just want to point out one other thing for people. We're not talking about rare circumstances here. Over a third of American women will have an abortion in their lifetime. Allow me to do the math for you. That's 55 million American women who are alive today will have had or will have an abortion. This is the most accessed medical procedure that takes place in our country and in the world, by the way, and the fact that we make it so difficult and so shameful is outrageous, and it is nothing but treating women as second-class citizens, and thank you for helping us step up to do that.
Where would you, for people who are interested in finding out more about what you guys do, where would you like them to go as far as a tweet handle or a website that I could say on the air?
Well, personalpack.org, and I'll let Aaron...
Yeah, you can go to personalpack.org, menforchoice.org, or in particular right now, go to callbsil.org.
Right.
Here come the Hawks, the mighty Hawks. Take the attack.
7:28, I saw Brian Soup Campbell yesterday briefly. Says hi to everybody. He's a big shot executive now with the Blackhawks, as you know. And it's almost that time again for another Chicago Blackhawks season. Preseason tickets on sale now with the first home game of the preseason versus those Detroit Red Wings. You only get two shots a year with the Red Wings now, one here, one there. It's not enough time to chant Detroit sucks.
Right.
I mean, you almost have to go to Michigan to chant Detroit sucks. Used to be you'd have several chances a year.
Yeah.
But yet here's a preseason opportunity to chant Detroit sucks.
That's why they play them in twice every year in the preseason. Once here and once there, so that...
You can get some of that out of your system.
You can get, it's a release.
And by the way, this is a respectful Detroit sucks. You know, this is something you can share with your family. I remember when Ross was two or three, teaching him how to chant Detroit sucks. Visit the ChicagoBlackhawks.com website for ticket information. We're going to give away a couple of pairs this morning, but let's do one right now. Seventh caller right now. What do you want to do, Jake? You want to do a game or something, or you want to just make them call?
They have to call, and they have to remember to say Detroit sucks.
All right, if you call and say Detroit sucks.
But if they don't.
How about Detroit sucks, but this show doesn't most days? That's the phrase that pays. Be the seventh caller now, 312-981-7200, and you will see the Hawks and the Red Wings in preseason, which is, that game is what, 2 weeks away? That's unbelievable. It's almost hockey season.
A little more than that.
Pretend I'm right.
Okay. Yes, 2 weeks away. In fact, I think it might be this weekend.
As soon as I said it, I knew I was wrong. It's 7:30 in the morning. We'll come back with a big story next. What are you going to be talking about this time, their birthday chick?
Let's see. How about Donald Trump and what the secretary knew?
All right. We have some great audio we got to get to this morning from Donald Trump's impromptu press conferences yesterday. So we'll get to that later, too. But the big story is next at 7:20 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Second and goal. Cruz and Bellamy to the left. Thompson to the right. Trubisky rolls and throws. Touchdown! Victor Cruz! Do that dance!
Just got into rhythm. Play calling. Guys were getting open. O-line did a great job giving me time. Moving the pocket.
and just playing within myself and the offense.
Well, I thought, you know, he had pretty good command. You know, wasn't all perfect. You know, obviously, you know, you can see why he was picked in the draft where he was picked. I think that was evident.
Reps are reps.
No.
Just going out there, trying to give my best every time and make it count every time and enjoy it.
Bears' first preseason game is in the books. Coming off last season, it can only get better, right? Well, after that first series, you may have had your doubts. You stayed around for the rest of the game, then you may be a little more upbeat. Dan Hampton, Hall of Famer, joins us now. Good morning, Ham.
Wow, I got to tell you, I haven't seen the city kind of set up and take notice about a preseason football game like this in a long time.
Well, there was curious curiosity, right? There was curiosity about, you know, is Trubisky going to play? Is Glennon going to be any good? By the way, this is all sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. So I suppose we got to start with the quarterback. What'd you think?
Well, you said start with the quarterback. There was a tale of two different quarterbacks. Mike Glennon, to say he fell on his face would be an understatement. It was, I mean, a hand grenade went off when he went out. And, you know, and here's the thing. Fox has painted himself into a little bit of a corner saying, no, it's Mike Glennon and he's going to be our starter. And hey, that's what all the veteran coaches forever have done. They said, we're going to go with the vet. The rookie is a rookie. We're going to, you know, set him. He's going to watch, yada, yada, yada. Last night it was night and day, you know, Mike Glennon, for Trubisky, the moment wasn't too big. The offense was in his grasp. Everything that Glennon couldn't do, the kid did. Now, we know that, hey, second-team, third-team defenses aren't as tough, but still, it's like, you know, he's playing with second-team backs and linemen and receivers. So, all in all, it couldn't have been more of a, you know, a drastic comparison. And on one hand, I went down to the tunnel to do the post game. It was probably about 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Nobody had left for the and all those games last December. The fans, what few came, you know, 30, 40, 50,000, whatever it was, they were out of there by the third quarter. Last night, the fans were given hope. They were given something to kind of hold on to and believe in, and it was I don't know. You know, sometimes you say when it's over, what did I just see? I saw a young kid come in and the moment wasn't too big, completed his first 10 passes, operated like a veteran, and the rest of the team, the veterans like Akeem Hicks, they were all up on the sideline watching like, who is this kid? Is he really doing this? So there's a lot, and again, we're not putting him in the Hall of Fame. He's not in the Pro Bowl. We saw something last night we hadn't seen in a long time, and it was good.
And the reality is, Hamp, when you mention, okay, he's playing against twos and threes and playing with twos and threes, so you have to take that into consideration. But at the same time, if he had failed playing against twos and threes, everybody would have said, hey, this guy can't even beat Denver's third team. Right? I mean, that's how people analyze these things.
Absolutely. And it's a wonderful point, Mr. Cat. But here's one overarching point. You know, in the pregame, I said there's three things. We've heard, oh, it's a more talented team. Well, show us. Well, you know, Trubisky gave us not only a spark, but a new dimension at that position. You know, some of those bootlegs and rollouts and his accuracy and his, you know, his speed. There's some good stuff. You know, Tarik Cohen, the young back, they were running inside. And, you know, I saw him after the game. He's not that big. And yet, you know, he was giving the offense a lot of juice. You know, Shaheen, the big tight end. My goodness, I'm telling you, I watched him. He not only, you know, squared up on defensive linemen and outside linebackers with a little pop, which makes you, you know, understand, hey, he's capable of blocking, but when he's in his pass routes, he's got that kind of Gronkowski ability to feel the coverage and get away and get open from it. So there was a lot, you know, the kids, the kids really showed me a lot last night. And more importantly, this team hasn't had like a vibe, like they really care and they want to win. And they didn't look like it the first quarter. And Glennon and his, you know, and his struggles only contributed to it. But once Trubisky came in, and remember, they didn't wait till the third quarter. And whether it was Dow Loggins, the coordinator, or John Fox actually woke up and kind of did something, you know, clever, he put him in right at the end of the first half in the two-minute situation, and Trubisky was not only able to move the team, he moved him for points. And from that point on, it looked like a different team. And that's what you look for. Kids that inspire the rest of the team to play and win. And we haven't seen it in quite a while, so there was some good stuff last night.
Yeah, Hemp said I was clever.
I agree
often about that guy.
I agree with you. I thought Cohen is an exciting player. They see him out there. And I thought the return game in general, Hamp, was pretty good with Thompson you know, we saw Eddie Jackson on a couple of punt returns. But
yeah.
I want to ask you about the defense. I mean, Leonard Floyd gave him an early push on the pass rush. But what else did you see defensively?
Well, actually, hold that thought.
Oh, hold that thought, Hamp.
Let's take a break. Let's come back, and then let's talk defense.
Yeah.
First, it's Mary Vanderbilt. She has your traffic trouble spots, and then more with Dan Hampton, the Hall of Famer, brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com. On the video portion of the program, which, of course, you have to pay extra for, Hamp rides in on a horse during this bumper. A big horse. The Hall of Famer, Dan Hampton. Talking a little bit about the Bears' first preseason game. You know what I liked about the first segment, Hemp, is you said words that we haven't been able to associate with the Bears in a long time, and that's a full stadium and optimism.
Yeah. And clever.
And clever. Yeah, clever. Yeah. That's not one you throw around lightly.
No. And looking at what they were able to do on defense, obviously, you know, Denver's still looking for a quarterback with Simeon and Paxton Lynch. But still, our defense for three quarters to the fourth quarter free-for-all, whatever, at the end, they held them to a field goal. So there was some good stuff. And it was the young kids, you know, Leonard Floyd making the sack, first play of the defense. I mean, those are things that change the way games are play calls are made. Because if your quarterback gets blindsided on the first, you start thinking, hey, we better start thinking, you know, run the ball or you know, do some max protect or whatever. So, and then Jonathan Bullard with the big third and short, you know, those were two draft picks from a year ago that didn't make a lot of difference for us. They showed up last night. Not only that, but Eddie Jackson, the fifth-round pick from Alabama. And, you know, there's something about taking, you know, Terry Collins from a little bitty school, Shaheen's from a little bitty school. But when you start getting a lot of players from winning French programs like Alabama, that's a good thing. And Eddie Jackson showed up in a lot of different ways, not only in training camp. He's got great ball skills, and he's his legs getting better, and he's getting a lot of his speed back. But there was a lot of reasons to say, hey, this secondary is two or three clicks better than what it was a year ago with Amarcura and Marcus Cooper at the corner, Quentin Demps at safety. So hey, you get better by getting better players and then starting to play together. And we all know that Vic Fangio is a really good coordinator. So, you know, the arrow is not only up for, you know, some of the kids on offense, but on the defense as well.
So what do you do now in practice? You go and, you know, you treat this like a regular game. What's the routine after the first exhibition game? Because his coaching staff has to make a lot of decision on who's going to be around in the next two or three weeks. What's the number one job today?
First and foremost, you know, you got to make corrections and different things. And back to Mike Glennon. You know, again, this Mike Glennon, he needs to do a little soul searching. And we've heard, obviously, that since he was signed, that he was going to be the man. And no matter what happens with the, you know, backup or the rookie being drafted, he's going to be. And for him to come out and play so pathetically. And remember, this isn't Peyton Manning at the end of the of Carson Palmer at the end of a great career. This is a young man. He's $18 million this year, guaranteed to play. And all he has accomplished in his career was to give Tampa the first overall draft pick. Think about it. As he was a starter, and they were the worst team in the league, and they got Jameis Winston, which, you know, gave him a seat on the bench. So, you know, he and I understand sports, you know, hey, there's, I hate to say there's no brownie points in it. Hey, either you cut it or you don't. And he's got to find a way to, on his first pass ever as a Chicago Bear, it was late. It was a quick slant. Hence the word quick. You got to get the ball out quick. He was late. They made a play on it and knocked it down. And then put him in third and long, which opened the door for the pass rush to get him. And then he throws into triple coverage for a pick six. So there's a lot of things that they need to correct, those type of things. And the other thing is the offensive line. We know that they swapped the guards. Sitton was a right guard in Green Bay, and last year he was playing left. So they flopped him and put Kyle Long on the left side. It's a work in progress, but they need to be better. They were really spotty in their pass protection, and the running game was non-existent that first quarter. So it, you know, put all the onus on the quarterback. There's a lot of stuff that the first team offense needs to come to grips with. But again, I remember Lou Holtz would play the second team offense the third period, the third drive of the game, whether we're up two scores or down two scores. And basically he's saying, hey, we have options. Let me show you how important you think you are.
No, that's great.
And so I'm just saying, this offense, they need to kind of, you know, slap themselves and wake up a little bit.
Last thing before we let you go, and again, it's Hamp, brought to you by Chevy, drivechicago.com. There are guys that can't pitch at Yankee Stadium or Wrigley Field or Fenway Park. There are quarterbacks that can't play in certain big situations as well. Chicago's not an easy city to play with. You got to be mentally tough. Any concerns about Glennon's mental toughness, or is it too early to tell?
Well, hey, it's a preseason game, and come on, you know, do what you're supposed to do. Do what you've been practicing for 6 months. You've got, you know, you've got competent players around you. There's really no excuse for him looking that badly.
Right.
He's got to really rebound. But the other part of it is, let me just say this. If you listen to, you know, and okay, you know, you can say what you want about Trubisky. Come in, and I'm telling you, the rest of the NFL, they stood up and watched that last night saying, hey, wait a minute, this kid, come in at the end of the first half, complete 10, you know, his first 10 passes, and move the offense, scoring 17 points. And all the while, your two starting receivers, Cam Meredith and Kevin White, were basically invisible. So there was a lot of good things that this kid did. Well, in the post-game press conference, he's very, very humble and used the word team, and we a whole lot more than he said I. So
yeah, it was impressive.
There's a lot of reasons to say, hey, and again, John Fox, you better not paint yourself in a corner with Mike Glennon, because we saw something special last night.
Good talking to you, Hamp. Enjoy your weekend.
You too. See you next week.
All right, bye.
See you.
Dan Hampton from, NFL Hall of Fame. That's where he's from.
He's in Canton now. He was live in Canton.
Well, he's not actually there, but
he is
if
in
he
Canton.
To. No, he's in Canton.
Yep.
Canton. Guy that size making a gold blazer look good? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with everything he said. And not just because he could kill me with his bare hands. I mean, you know, just Trubisky looked great, and Glennon looked like it was a huge mistake. But let's all take a breath as Bears
fans,
exactly. And back up.
I mean, you have to look at a larger body of work than one game. But, I mean, I think it has to be encouraging to see what Trubisky did. There's no question about that.
There are EMT folks standing by at the Score and ESPN today for the meltdown of all the hosts, not the callers, the hosts, because they trip over each other to talk about the Bears quarterback controversy. It's 8 o'clock. Let's do the news next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen.
and gentlemen, may I present to you...
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
A13, we continue. Dean Richards is live outside. We only have a very short window here with Dean. Is he on the phone? In the regular situation?
I'm on the regular. Hello.
Hi, regular situation.
Regular situation was my name when I was on Jersey Shores, if you remember correctly.
I do remember that. So we have 3 minutes with you. Is that what I'm being told?
About.
Yeah. Movies, go.
We've got the movie called Annabelle Creation. Really good, really effective horror movie of this demonic doll that you've seen before in the Conjuring series. Mm-hmm. Now back again, half a dozen orphans move into the big house with the demonized doll. And a movie like this could have just been full of cliches. This one is not. Really good if you like horror movies.
You think that would have come up, though, as a real estate agent to the stars? You think the agent would have pointed that out? Now, the price is right, but I have to warn you, there's a demonic doll in one of the rooms.
Yeah, I never point that out when I'm doing real estate showings.
Yeah.
You know, I point out, here's the kitchen. Look at all the space. Here's right. The living room. Let's go into the bedroom for a minute. Try to avoid the creepy-looking wooden head doll whose eyes are moving on the shelf. It has nothing to do with what's happened in this house and why it's sold 15 times in the last 2 years.
Right. All right, movies.
Also this movie weekend, there's the movie called The Glass Castle, a dysfunctional family story about four little kids being raised by an extremely dysfunctional, abusive, alcoholic father and a completely compliant, free spirit mother, and what this crazy lifestyle did to the kids. The movie flashes back from when they were kids to present day and how they turned out and the effects of this really dysfunctional way of growing up. Left on these kids. Woody Harrelson is the father in this movie. Brie Larson is the middle child as an adult. Naomi Watts is in the movie. Really great performances, but this is one of these movies they could have easily cut a half an hour out of this movie. They needed to tighten it up because it meanders all over the place and hurts the film, but I still gave it a Dean's List C+.
All right, I know you've got the big after-school special before school going on outside.
You mean that's going on right now?
Yeah, and I know you got to go outside.
Back-to-school kids' fair.
I know you got to go outside and do more TV.
Steve, we're giving out free pencils and
well, it's exciting.
School supplies.
No, it's exciting.
Do you need any erasers?
I do need for my backpack.
Okay, well, I've got those.
But before you go, please plug your Alzheimer's special on Sunday.
Will be Sunday from noon until 3. We've put together an amazing panel of medical experts and advocates, people who are living with Alzheimer's, their caretakers, their family members, talking about where we are in the fight of this way underfunded disease that seems to be affecting so many people. I think it's going to be a really compelling afternoon. Sunday, noon to 3, coincidentally, Steve, on this very radio station.
Yes, and that is Sunday, noon to 3 on your 720 WGN. All right, go play with your friends. We'll talk to you Monday.
Bye.
All right, that's Dean Richards live from Channel 9.
The Steve Cochran Show.
We'll always consider negotiations, but they've been negotiating now for 25 years. Look at Clinton. He folded on the negotiations. He was weak and ineffective. You look what happened with Bush. You look what happened with Obama. Obama, he didn't even want to talk about it. But I talk. It's about time. Somebody has to do it.
Mr. President, please go golfing. Tee it up, baby. Let's go over the rest of the day with no more tweets and just pictures of POTUS golfing. That's all you need. And for everybody who wants to complain about golfing, who cares if he's golfing? Let him golf. My friend Stuart Chiron's here, and Stuart is the cruise guy, literally, the cruise guy. And Stuart and I have known each other for, I don't know, 20 years, maybe longer. And if you ever need information on a cruise, and this is a big cruise audience, the WGN audience, they love the cruises. And I've taken, I don't know, 2 or 3 cruises that Stuart set up, and they're all great. Never an issue. Takes care of everything. Before we get to the specifics, however, Stuart, I do have one concern. Not that I'm ever going to be in a position where I can take a 110-day worldwide cruise, But there's a 110-day around-the-world cruise that's in the news this morning because the captain of the ship said, everybody at night, turn the lights off, close the shades. There's pirates in the area. Well, what's going on?
Well, they're in the area of Somalia. So when you're doing the Gulf of Aden, it's you know, it is pirate-infested country. I mean, there's a lot of Navy convoys. I mean, the ships are not unprotected. But there is a risk that, you know, they're in that area, which I really don't have any interest to be sailing in. So as they're traversing, going up the Suez Canal toward the Mediterranean, I mean, they have to go, you know, off the coast of Saudi Arabia and Somalia. And, I mean, those areas over the years have been infested with pirates. But
how far out to sea do you need to be pirate-free?
I don't, well, believe it or not, I mean, they've gone 100 miles and 200 miles, and they still had problems.
Really?
So, but, you know, we're talking.
So is that in the brochure? Is that in the brochure?
They knew.
Days 90 to 100,
they were advised. And it's like, I mean these issues have been going on since, what, 1997?
I'm the captain now. They made a movie about it. I don't know if you remember.
I do remember. Yeah. And you were a very good captain. But, you know, they were forewarned.
I said that on a Disney cruise once, and Mickey went, no, you're not.
Between Mickey, Captain Hook, and the real captain, I know there's a bit of leadership quandary there.
Not enough room for me. So if you're going on a cruise near Somalia, expect that you could have an issue with pirates. In other words, the message, Stuart, if I'm understanding you correctly, your message is you don't need to cruise Somalia.
Correct.
Okay, got it. That seems right. That seems fair. Here's what we do whenever Stuart was on, from the old days to today. If you have a question about cruises, there's no stupid questions. Any question you've ever wondered, maybe you're one of these veteran cocky cruisers, and you want to take it to the next level. It's like when you go to a website and they say advanced settings. Maybe you're an advanced settings type. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, or you could text us your question, and I'll hit Stuart with all of them. But, Stuart, you know what I'm going to ask you? You got a hot deal? You got a hot deal for me? You got a
hot
big
deal?
One?
Well, sure. I mean, we're in the middle of the summer. So, you know, a lot of the ships are in Alaska and Europe. But, you know, I think one of my favorite ships happens to be Royal Caribbean's Harmony of the Seas. You can also do the Allure of the Seas. These are the two largest cruise ships in the world. Harmony is just a year old, 227,000 tons. she's doing seven.
It's a lot of boat.
It is a lot. But when you see everything that they've got, I mean, everything. It doesn't matter how many cruises you've been on. Until you've seen one of these Oasis-class ships, you haven't seen anything yet. You know, 1,187 feet long, two flow riders. You go surfing and boogie boarding, ice skating rinks. They've got a zip line.
I love the idea of surfing
pools.
On the ship.
Or zip lining on the boat.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. The dining experiences, the entertainment experiences. It's an amazing experience, and you don't know that you're even on a ship. But right now, I mean, the prices were from $1,749. I mean, there's pricing starting from $799. And if you're looking for something a little cooler, there's still time left in Alaska. You can do a 7-night cruise out of Seattle up to Juneau, Ketchikan, Glacier Bay, or Hubbard Glacier. Holland America has Eurodam or Amsterdam out of Seattle. I mean, $799, where typically Alaska is doing so well that most prices are starting from about $1,000. And now we're also getting into the tail end of the season, which means it is getting a little bit cooler. It's the leaves are changing. So it's kind of like a Canada-New England experience.
I think I may do that next year. This year's not going to work for me, but I may do that next year. Okay. The Alaskan cruise.
Supposed to be beautiful.
It's supposed to be incredible, right?
It is.
And they have actual polar bears on the ship?
No, polar bears on the ship. But next year, the new Norwegian Bliss is coming out, and the hull of the ship is being painted by my good friend Weiland.
Is that right?
So he's painting whales on the side of the ship.
Well, that's kind of cool. All right, so when it comes to Alaska, what is peak season? Is it June, July?
Well, July is the very peak of the season in the last 2 weeks of August, because the kids are getting back to school. So then,
so is pricing best right now for
yes,
Alaska?
This is
the first
of the best
2 weeks of August is the best time to go.
Well, now is in going right into the end of the season, which is in the first week or two of September.
You don't really get severe weather there either at this W, do you?
No.
Yeah.
No, it's a good
I mean,
time.
Obviously it's not snowing, but I mean, you don't get big storms that blow in there.
No, and also if you like the shops, I mean, the shops are getting ready to close, so they're blowing everything out like 75% off.
You've done Alaska as well?
Many times.
How many cruises have you done?
I just came off of Seabourn Encore in Europe, and it was my 250th cruise.
250 cruises. How about that? Have you ever seen an entertainment act you didn't like?
Yeah, I sure have. I've seen many.
All right, many questions for you when we come back, including some of the frequently asked stuff, like should I bundle the airfare with it? What about the excursions? How do I save money? Where should I spend my money? All of the things. Stuart has all the answers.
Those are good questions.
Yeah, these are things people need to know. But what I would encourage you to do, if you want to book a cruise, we'll be messing around with 48,000 websites. You go to Stuart's website, and he'll direct you. He'll get you the planning for it. He'll get it done with his staff of over 5,000 people. Is that right, 5,000 people?
No.
Not quite. What's the website?
Cruiseguide.com.
Cruiseguide.com. Questions coming in from you texters, especially. We'll get to those coming up, too. Andre has your big story coming up, and what is that?
Oh, it's Cook County Soda Pop Tax creating a lot of havoc.
No, Stuart had that with his family. Where did you go?
We went to Rudy's, and we got a dollar tax on a $2 soda.
All right.
There you go.
Does that shock you? You're in Chicago.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, then they asked, do you not want to pay it? No. Your menu said $2. Well, yeah. I want to pay $3.
Right. By the way, Dave, I mentioned to Stuart McDonald's in Cook County now has a cover charge.
Is that right?
Yes, and a two-burger minimum.
And if I could direct it to the schools, I would gladly pay it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
More schools for Chicago.
That's right.
More money for Chicago schools.
If you walk past a store that sells anything sweet, you're going to have to pay. And you breathe the air.
But this is a diet soda. There's nothing sweet in it.
No. Too bad.
Sorry, Stuart. As a matter of fact, Stuart, you have to give us $100 just for bringing this issue up.
I would do it if it went to the Chicago schools.
I'll bring it to a school. It's 8:29, and we're back with more. Stuart Shear on the Cruise Guy coming up on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Gotta get in the travel business. Peter Greenberg, he didn't even have a house. He just lives in first-class hotels and first-class plane seats. And my friend Stuart Shear on 250 cruises later, he doesn't even know where his house is. Just goes from ship to ship. Let's get some questions here, Stuart. And let's answer these for folks. Ready?
Ready.
From the 219, about tipping. We have an onboard credit, and an option is to use it towards tipping. Should you use an onboard credit for tipping?
You can use your onboard credit towards anything that you want.
Do you recommend it?
Well, I mean, you're going to have a bottom line price, so sure, why not? I mean, okay. Just put it towards your shipboard credit, and you'll get billed and whatever it is.
It's all cash that's going out anyway, so
exactly.
What difference? Okay. 630, what do you think of the European river cruises? We leave in 2 weeks for one on the Danube.
Those are very popular, and
do you like them?
Well, I mean, they're a lot of fun for a lot of people. I mean, I love the oceans, but, I mean, you visit some really great places. But, you know, the river cruises are a lot more laid back and, you know, just make sure you do lots of excursions to keep yourself active.
The river cruises are like, is it like, and pardon my ignorance of the Danube, is the Danube like very wide?
It's very busy. I mean, you have these 150 passenger river boats that go from place to place and you get off. And
are they fancy? Would I like them?
Some of them are. Some of them aren't.
Some of them are thatched roofs and you're laying on a cot?
Correct. No, but the river, most of the river cruises, Viking, Alma Waterways, I mean, it's Crystal is the best in the newest ships. But, you know, it's just you have to be more of that type of a person. I love the ocean.
And describe again what that type of a person is, just somebody that wants to see old Europe and that type of thing?
Well, that's exactly it. And it's just there's the river boats are not going to have a whole lot. You're going to have a place to sleep, some really nice food, but you're going to be touring all day.
Okay. Well, that sounds like fun for a lot of people.
Sure.
Yeah. Andre, you had a question about a theme cruise.
Yeah, there's a lot of cruise themes out there now. I know the Disney cruises were popular for a long time, but I'm seeing now ads for, I don't know, maybe just me, the 80s theme cruises where you have like rock and roll bands from a certain decade, and it's specifically the cruise just for that.
Well, what's happening is a lot of companies are chartering, meaning they're taking the entire ship for their specific theme. So you mentioned the 80s cruise, so they're, you know, these people are buying the ship for the week, and then what they're doing is they're bringing on their own entertainment, and then they're charging people to come on board the ship, and I mean they're incredibly popular.
Theme cruise is now for acts that used to be A-line touring acts that aren't the Rolling Stones anymore. They're gone through the roof.
Yeah,
the sports team cruises, rock and roll cruises. There's actors, you know, from like the. I heard there was a Big Chill cruise where the cast of the Big Chill go out. What's it cost to take the ship out for the week?
Well, I mean, you're talking millions.
How much? Because I don't have it on me.
Well, I mean, it depends on the size of the ship. But I mean, okay. It could cost you $4 to $5 million. It could cost you $3 million to charter the ship, depending on the length of the time. But
if you're a like the Eagles just did a cruise. Like if you're a crazed Eagles fan and you could be up close with the band and have Don Henley
it's
go,
a,
get
it's
away
a wonderful
from
experience.
I'm eating.
I mean,
why not?
Do you get that one on one? I mean, if you did go see the Eagles, can you hang out?
They have special interactions, and okay. You know, sometimes you could be hanging out on deck, and you know you can go over and
Joe Walsh will talk to you. He's a good guy.
Yeah. So it really depends, but I mean those cruises are incredibly popular, and you know all 3,000 people on that ship are for the same purpose.
Right.
So I mean they're all on for that kind of an experience.
When I was little, we went on a cruise with my parents. I think I was maybe 10 years old, and the entertainment was Tommy Lasorda and Anthony Newley.
Wow. quite a lineup.
I know. Well, my mom was thrilled.
Cruises have come a long way.
Yeah, big time.
There's always a comedian. There's always different types of music for whatever your taste is. Almost every ship has a casino, right?
Yeah, except Disney.
Yeah, the Disney casino. Hey, put your money down. Who's got 30 black? But it's there's never a shortage of stuff to do.
No. I mean, that's the beautiful thing about the cruise. You can customize it. I mean, you know, it's you know, you're not packing and unpacking. You're not checking out hotels. You're not waiting in airports. Your entertainment, you know, most of the entertainment is included. They do have these specialty restaurants, and you have other ways to customize your experience. And, you know, the nice thing is you're not waking up in the same boring place each day.
Here are some general questions. 630, would be a good cruise to take in early September? Thought about the Caribbean, but is that hurricane season?
Well, it is hurricane season, but understand that they can predict the storms. So, I mean, I've been out on cruises many a times, including out in Hawaii and the Caribbean during the season, and we've had to alter because of a hurricane. It's not an earthquake or a tornado. I mean, they can predict the path of the storms, and they do move the ships. So in September, I mean, I would go to the Caribbean without even thinking twice. It's a great opportunity. The kids are back in school, and that's where you're going to really get some amazing discounts.
I got a couple of textures say, is there something in September you're recommending price-wise?
Well, Caribbean. I mean, you're going to see pricing dropping around $599 on a lot of ships. You can get some great deals on balconies. You know, the repositioning cruises as ships are going between Alaska and Europe back to the U.S. You'll find some great opportunities. You can get some 10-day cruises. I mean, I've seen them from $899.
Do you still recommend to the Greek? I know the Greek islands cruises are so successful now, and they now have the high speed ferries that can take you from place to place. But there's something just more special about being on the boat, somewhere to sleep. You know, kind of a more pleasurable experience as opposed to just rushing through it.
Well, it's a whole different experience. I mean, you're in a much nicer environment, and the food and everything is just nicer.
Yeah.
But you know, to do those overnight ferries, I mean, it's just not for me.
Right. And sometimes the hot dog stand will be open, sometimes not. You know
if,
what I mean?
If they have that. But no, yeah. I mean, it's just there's a nice thing to go between, especially when you do a cruise that does the Greek islands and it matches it with Italy, and it kind of mm-hmm. balances things out. And I mean, Italy is just a great place to cruise.
708, going on my first cruise next month, the Pacific side of Mexico. Are the seas rougher on that side?
Not really. It'll be a nice trip, especially, you know, this time of year. And, you know, the Mazatlan is back on the itineraries, in addition to Cabo San Lucas and Puerto Vallarta. You know, the security concerns have been allayed. So you'll go and have a great time.
What's the advantage to spending more money on a nicer room? Because I know a lot of times you travel and people go, oh, well, I'm not in the room.
Yeah,
but baloney. Is it better to – yeah, exactly right. It's better to spend a little bit more.
Well, you are going to spend a lot more time in the room, but it just depends on your budget. It's just like buying a car. You know, what kind of a hotel do you like to stay in? It is worthwhile to certainly have a balcony. But, you know, to go into the suites or something, it's a personal preference. It's nice to have the extra space. But,
let me just tell you something. If you're going to invest in the cruise, get a balcony.
Yeah.
When you are sitting on your balcony looking at the ocean go by, it's unbelievable.
Or just open up the sliding glass door and listen to the ocean. I mean, you know, how many hotels are you really ocean front like this? You open up and you hear the ocean.
Right.
You know, what's going on outside? You're in port and, you know, you can open up the door. What's the weather like? I mean, there's a myriad of advantages of getting it, which is why almost every cabin on every ship has a balcony today.
And I would say this too, if you think that's an expense you don't want to make, then go on the lower budget end and see what disappointed you, and then take your second cruise.
Well, but again, depending
or third.
Depending on your budget. I mean, I would not...
Oh, I'm not knocking people
I would not go and do an inside or an ocean cruise as well.
Pardon me. I'm not knocking people who can't necessarily afford it. I'm just saying it's an expense worth making.
Sure.
So, airfare, should you bundle it?
99.9% of the time, no.
Well,
and because you know, by doing it yourself, you're able to get it at market costs, and you're able to book it now and not have to wait for the cruise line to book it, which typically can be at a higher price. And you may wind up going from, you know, let's say you're going to Miami on a cruise, you may wind up going, the cruise line may book you from, you know, Chicago to Detroit to LA to Miami, where you could have booked it nonstop from Chicago to Miami. Maybe spend a couple days, you avoid the deviation charges. It's most of the time it is better to do it yourself because you can control it.
Dining. I don't want to sit with the same people every night, or I don't want to sit with different people. I know different ships do it different ways. How's that going and what's the trend?
Well, it used to be, you used to have first and second seating. It used to be very regimented. Now, most ships, the dining is, they do have open seating. So you can be able to dine at various times at various tables with lots of different people. Let's say there's just the two of you, you want a table for two, and the next night you'd like to, you found a whole group of people, a whole group of Steve Cochran fans, and you want to sit with eight people, you get yourself a nice table of eight.
Do we have eight? Do we have eight fans?
I think we do. Okay. Yeah, we got a lot more than eight.
There is a texter who's having a small family reunion, wondering if the summertime even makes sense to try that between June and August. I don't know how many people in the family, but they like something where kids could be entertained as well as adults. Could be Disney, but is there another recommendation you'd make?
Sure. I mean, you know, in the summer, you got Celebrity, Royal Caribbean, Carnival, sailing out of all kinds of ports around the U.S. The Caribbean's a great place to go. And the nice thing about organizing trips for families is there's not a whole lot you have to plan. You know, dinner's at 8, you know, we'll see you, we're going to go into town, we're doing this tour, if you want to join us, that's great, but there's something for everybody. You know, the kids want to go to the kids club, the parents want to go to a comedy show, these guys want to go to the disco, we'll see you guys later.
Yeah, and that brings us to shore excursions. What do we need to know?
Well, I typically, you know, kind of do my own thing on excursions. You know, sometimes I, you know, the, especially, you
well,
know,
you're a loner, you're a drifter, you go from
well,
town to
this,
town.
This last trip to Europe, I mean, I was eight, you know, there was eight people that were traveling with us. So, you know,
and you were tired of them.
And so, no, we were able to go together. So, you know, let's say we were in Porto Venere, Italy. We were going to Cinque Terre. The cruise line was charging $200 a person for the tour. That's $1,600, and we were able to rent a van, and we did it for $700
so
total.
Look at options.
So
don't
it's,
necessarily go
it with, is, and yeah. Sometimes you can plan a lot of these things yourself. Just make sure you know what time the ship is departing. But I mean, that's the beauty of cruising. You know, sometimes look, I've gotten off in Livorno, Italy, and you know, gotten back on the ship the next day in Civitavecchia in Rome, and spent the night in Florence.
I need you for two more minutes.
You got it.
Yeah, stick around. The Cruise Guy.
Cruiseguide.com.
Cruiseguide.com. You got a phone number you want to throw?
800-700-3881.
Want to throw your cell phone out or are you good?
Sure.
No, it's fine. It's, hey, what do you guys think about getting Jay Cutler?
I think that's is very interesting.
it's just, okay. We know him. We're here.
I know. I just hope that he really comes out of his shell finally.
I don't see that part happening.
Yeah.
But his wife is lovely. It's 8:52. Let's get your traffic on the radio and then a couple more minutes with Stuart if you didn't get your cruise question in. Get it in quickly now. Stuart, a couple more questions for Stuart Shearer on the Cruise Guy. Singles cruises. Who does them?
Well, I mean, everybody offers cabins for singles. I mean, you know, Carnival.
So the double occupancy thing.
It's, I mean, people have to think of it's you go by a price. I mean, if you get a single cabin at $1,800 and you could have gotten a double cabin for one person at $900, isn't that a better deal? Mm-hmm. And that's where people kind of they miss the concept. Cabins are priced, you know, as essentially single, then they offered a double occupancy. But just look at the total price. So you'll find some great, I mean, the single cabins on NCLs, on several of NCL ships, for example, can oftentimes cost more than one person taking a double cabin.
That's a good tip.
And the rooms are bigger.
No, it's a very good tip. Now, here's the thing. The singles activities that a lot of the cruise ships, you know, do are obviously limited. Is there a ship, a line, or whatever that does a singles cruise specifically?
Well, there's you have the larger the ship, the more singles you're going to have.
Okay.
So the Carnival ships, Royal Caribbean ships, the NCL ships.
But nobody is known for a singles cruise.
No, because the singles are not as prevalent as people traveling as two in a cabin.
Okay.
But you're going to have lots of activities for singles.
Croatia. Is it safe to cruise there, and is that a thing?
Oh, Dubrovnik is one of the most popular destinations in the Mediterranean.
Did you just curse at me? Did you say Dubrovnik?
I did say Dubrovnik. It's a great port.
Oh, I didn't know it was really popular.
Oh, yeah. In fact, they're trying to find ways to actually limit the number of cruise ships coming into Dubrovnik now because it's so popular.
Best time to cruise Hawaii?
Oh, Hawaii. It's one of my absolute favorite places to go in the world on a cruise.
You going home? Seemed like you felt like you
I could
right
I could leave today. Mm-hmm. Especially when you go on NCL's Norwegian Pride of America, the ship's U.S. flagged and registered. So you actually spend 85 hours in port. You do overnights. You go out of Honolulu. You go to Maui. You do an overnight in Maui, Kona, Hilo, and an overnight in Kauai. Spend a few days in Honolulu is definitely the best thing to do. But really, Hawaii is all year. But, the summer is the peak of the season, and the prices can get you almost $2,000 a person. It's the most expensive seven-day cruise in the world.
Wow.
At times. So the best time to go is when the kids are back in school. So look in September, October, November.
Yeah, the weather's still good in Hawaii.
The weather's phenomenal.
Yeah. Princess Cruise Lines just told one of our, has told one of our listeners that if you book the flight through them, they'll guarantee that you make the boat.
They have those. If you book the air through the cruise line, then they are responsible for getting you. So if the flight misses the ship, then they are responsible for getting you to the next port. Here's your tip. Go in the day before so you don't have to worry about the flights.
Right. The amount you're going to spend on a hotel room is going to...
When my early morning day begins and the sunlight hits my face, I've got the sound of WGN 720 locked in place.
9 o'clock hour.
Now I've tuned to you, and the day's all right with me. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Come on, how about John DeCaro?
Voice and wake up call.
Dude can sing, can't he?
I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show.
Back live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. And joining us now, it's our regular Friday celebration of bowling. You know we do this every Friday. Lean into that microphone if you would, sir. And Dan Patterson is here, along with an actual bowling pin, which if you're watching, you can see. Of course, WGNRadio.com is another way to do this, too. You can just click the watch button as well. But this bowling pin that we're looking at is Penny.
Penny the pin.
Penny
the pin.
Yeah.
We got to get her back to the lanes, though, because now we're one pin short of a full rack. And
all right,
now
punch yourself in the face.
Hey, there you go.
A Penny is about 8 feet tall. And Penny has knocked three ceiling tile loose. One appears to be blown off its moorings.
We've caught $6,000 worth of damage so far, and we're not paying for any of it.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I wouldn't either. It's National Bowling Day?
National Bowling Day tomorrow, all day. All you got to do is download the Bowl Emoji app. Oh, I know you're laughing, but bowl at 300, Steve. I mean, come on now.
I can if you give me three games. It is a total game thing, right?
It is.
Serious.
You're going to need to get more than 100 that first game then.
Yes. Bowling has become kind of a cool date thing now with these higher-end places, right?
Oh, yeah. Bowling's back. And you talk about Bowmore Lanes. They come into town and they buy out these Brunswick Zones and the old Brunswick XLs, which are now the Bowlero brands. Mm-hmm. So if you've been to a bowling center recently, you've seen how cool it is. Talk about date night. So Saturday is the perfect time for that. And who doesn't love a free game of bowling?
And the food is not just microwave pizza.
No, not anymore. That's a thing of the past. I mean, some of our competitors still have that microwave pizza, so we don't want to go there unless you want to go back into the 60s. Mm-hmm. And then some of them still smell a little smoky. But no, this is big, beautiful food. We have a behemoth burger, about a 10 to 15 pound burger. It comes out. It's going to feed about 10 people, or you can try to tackle it yourself. A pizza cake. I know I'm sitting next to a chocolate cake. Somebody's 92nd birthday. Am I reading that right?
Yeah, 29. Oh, okay. 29, yeah.
I figured. He looked a little young for his age.
No, so, not my birthday.
It seems like you've eaten all the cake, though.
No, I haven't touched that cake. It just happens to be next
just conveniently
to me.
Located next to you. I get how it is. That's how
he's actually the only guy on the show that won't eat cake. The rest of us are all cake vacuums.
Yeah.
And where and when again? Is so the national major celebration you're talking about?
All day tomorrow. So we have 14 locations in the Chicagoland area, 10 Brunswick Zone centers, and 4 Bowlero bowling centers. So the way to engage in this is you got to go onto your iPhone, your Android, or your mobile device and download the Bowlmoji app. And you're going to love these Bowlmojis. Keep it 300. They're all animated. We got some donuts running over some bowling pins. We got a turkey bowling pin coming up for Thanksgiving.
Nice.
I mean, it's stuff you're going to want to share.
How good are you?
Actually, I used to be on Team USA back in the day, so bowling's in my blood. I love bowling.
All right, so you were on Team USA, but now you're not.
I'm not.
So do you occasionally go out and still play?
Absolutely, I do all the time.
If I just handed you, I assume you're a 16-pound ball guy?
No, 15. That's the way to go now.
Oh, the pro.
Yeah, you didn't know.
So you're a 15-pound ball guy. I assume if you just went to an alley now, you could easily roll a...
Probably a 220, I would say.
About a 220?
About a 220.
220 is pretty good.
Yeah, it's a lot of time at a bowling center, though. Yeah. That's why I work there now. I had so much fun bowling that I wanted to be on the other side.
And do you own and operate your own ball?
Yeah, I do own and operate my own ball. Yeah. Actually, balls.
And do you recommend buying your own shoes?
Absolutely. Now, the rental shoes are cool. They're funky and fun, and everybody loves them.
They're
and
cool
we do.
Now, yeah.
We have to have security at the door because they're so cool because everybody wants to take them home. But just so you know, 3 steps outside the door and your feet actually explode. So you don't want to take them outside.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You need to leave
those. So that's a new thing.
It's a new thing. Only at the Bowlmore and the Bowlero and the Brunswick and the AMF centers.
Like the shopping
specially
carts
designed.
That keep
exactly.
You from walking.
Yeah.
Didn't someone I know, whose name I won't say, try to walk out of a bowling alley with the shoe still on?
Well, it was. Wasn't someone you know is me, and secondarily, it wasn't because I was trying to steal them. It's because I forgot I had.
Was there alcohol involved here, Steve?
There was not.
And who did you run into in the elevator?
Patrick Kane from the Chicago Blackhawks.
And I did Kaner, that.
And Kaner said, "Hey, Steve, yeah, nice shoes." And I looked down and went, "Oh yeah." And then I went back and I changed them. It is interesting, though, isn't it? The tradition. I don't know how the tradition started. Other than the fact that the alleys, you know, are sensitive flooring areas.
Exactly right.
And you need those to be taken care of. So I guess that's logical, right?
Yeah.
So that's where the bowling shoes started. But there's nothing else in life where we rent clothing of any kind to do it, right?
Well, roller skating. I can think of one.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. That's not as funky and cool as bowling, though. I mean, bowling is what everybody thinks about. So I'm glad that you thought that we were the only sport still that did that.
Remember when it was only when you had to go on, say, Friday nights or Saturday nights for cosmic bowling? And now it's anytime. The lights are dim. And
absolutely.
I like adult bumper bowling. Can we pull that off?
Our mechanics are fixing those bumpers that you're damaging all the time, Steve, but you're still welcome to come do it.
Can we plug Penny?
Absolutely.
Who
we can plug Penny. So Penny is our mascot. Penny's made the rounds this festival season. I don't know if anybody went to Rib Fest or some of the other festivals downtown.
I can see he's got a little barbecue.
The hockey draft. Oh, yeah. Penny got a nice cleaning last night, so she had a good night's sleep, and she really made the rounds. But, no, she's been very active in the market. You can come and knock her down. You can see her around. She's very scared of bowling balls, but she loves our pizza cake.
And let's say hi to Penny's wrangler, Matt Irving.
Yes.
Who cares and feeds for Penny. And Matt's a proud Napervillian, I understand.
Speak up, Matt. Get in there.
Oh, yeah, I am.
The mystery voice from beyond.
Yeah, I am. Naperville. It's great.
It's weird. It's almost like you're inside a bowling pin.
Yeah, a little stuffy.
Well, you got a fun job, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
All right, Dan, give me the particulars again. There's no reason to miss National Bowling Day tomorrow.
No, I mean, everybody's always looking for something to do. It's the Chicago area. Bowling's in the blood. You got to get out there and bowl, and why not bowl for free? So the Bowlmoji app, you can download it in all the stores, Apple Store and the Android Store and the Apple Pay Store. And then show your Bowlmoji app at any of the participating bowling centers. You can get one free game of bowling. I know you're going to stay for more. A lot of the centers have laser tag, full amusements, and as you said, the food, spectacular. So once you're there once, you're going to want to keep coming back.
Bowling, it ain't what it used to be. It's better.
It's better.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, I like that tagline. We're going to use that. It's
free.
Yeah.
It's for
group
me.
Outing.
You know, thanks for coming in. And Penny, could you wave to any of the cameras here in the room? Nicely done, Penny. Very well done. Penny's working women and walking by on Michigan Avenue.
I know, right?
Yeah, it's amazing. Back with more in a moment, and I have Blackhawks tickets to give away for exhibition game. I got the Red Wings. You might get the Red Wings tickets. Who knows? Why don't you call now? Seventh caller, 312-981-7200. You can win them right now. And we'll be back. Happy National Bowling Day.
Get out there and bowl.
Website again is what?
BowlMoreAMF.com.
All right. Back after this on 720 WGN. We just said goodbye to Penny. Penny the bowling pin and his handler. Penny is normally a female, but today Penny was Matt. Matt was Penny.
Matt the male.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Matt was working women on Michigan Avenue walking by.
Right. Because the original Penny was on strike. Come on, it was the last time, and that's it, I'm done.
You know,
there's
could
so
be,
many things.
There could be any dude in the window, and I'm ignoring all this because it's your birthday.
I know.
Any dude in the window on any given day waving at girls walking by, and they'd be a creep, right?
Uh-huh.
Put a guy in a bowling pin, and they'll think, oh, look how cute that guy is. Right. Imagine a bowling pin with a puppy in the park, huh? You'd never be alone again.
Have you guys ever seen, in the showcase studio here, someone come up full nudity?
No, a lot of flashing, though.
Yeah, a lot of flashing going on.
Not so much in the morning. The afternoon show, we used to get a lot of flashing.
Except our friend from Lollapalooza the other day was, how do I put it nicely?
Oh.
Grinding up against the window?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the governor of Minnesota, when he was still governor, Jesse Ventura, who was an old friend of mine. We don't talk that much anymore. Jesse's not quite what he used to be. But Jesse, while he was still governor, and this is something you don't see every day, came up to the window here on Michigan Avenue. It's one of the things you'll miss when we're not in this studio anymore. But he's surrounded by his security detail, and he picked up his shirt and rubbed his belly against the window.
Oh,
hi, Governor. How are you?
Wait, pre-governor or when he was?
No, that's when he was governor.
Oh, okay, got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, that's why he had the security detail. I got to say, Rauner's never done that.
Mm-mm.
No. Bolingbrook Golf Club invites you. Is Governor Rauner on the show Monday? Yes? Okay.
He'll be calling in at 720.
Well, maybe he could rub his belly on the phone or something.
One can hope.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
Under budget, ahead of schedule.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Where essentially I'm the president.
On Chicago's very own.
I love Chicago. I know Chicago.
720 WGN.
Essentially, you're the president. For those of you who support Donald Trump, that's one in three of you. I hope you appreciate the fact that I've barely talked about him all day, but we've got a minute here, so why not? He had a double press conference yesterday after not doing one since February. Both were impromptu. For those of you that don't speak Trump, that means they just sort of happened. And as Andrea mentioned in the big story just a few minutes ago, he's going after one of my least favorite people, Mitch McConnell. So I'm torn. Who do I like less, Donald Trump or Mitch McConnell? Ah, help me decide.
He said, Mitch, get to work and let's get it done. They should have had this last one done. They lost by one vote. For a thing like that to happen is a disgrace. And frankly, it shouldn't have happened. That I can tell you. It shouldn't
Senator
have
happened. McConnell considered stepping down as majority leader. There's some conservative analysts, including Sean Hannity, who say it's time for him to retire.
Well, I'll tell you what. If he doesn't get repeal and replace done, and if he doesn't get taxes done, meaning cuts and reform, and if he doesn't get a very easy one to get done, infrastructure, if he doesn't get them done, then you can ask me that question.
So what is that?
You can ask me the question. That means ask me that question.
This is where you need...
Welcome back, Grandma.
Grandma? Where's Grandma? Who's making out with Grandma? Where'd that come from? Here's the thing. You can have an opinion as President of the United States, and you should have. And your opinion holds more weight than others. But you have no control over what... Oh, God, I hate defending Mitch McConnell because he's such a creep.
This is so interesting. We have to record this.
But even though the president's right, just saying for 7 years, repeal and replace, and not getting it done, he's right. You should have got it done. However, he's wrong about publicly criticizing Mitch McConnell, and he's wrong thinking he has some control over Mitch McConnell's future. Three co-equal branches of government, judicial, legislative, executive. Manage your end, POTUS. Do that.
Yeah.
And deal with Congress. Make things happen. You've got some good ideas in your legislative agenda. Get those passed. Get those through. But you don't control that creep Mitch McConnell any more than his ultimate boss, Satan, does. So the fact of the matter is, this is not on your jurisdiction.
Doesn't he need Mitch McConnell's help if he still wants to repeal?
Okay, yeah, but you know, McConnell will do what McConnell will do. Right. Either way. 755 U.S. diplomats were ordered out of Russia, and as you'd expect, yesterday the president took the opportunity to pound his counterpart Vladimir Putin into the ground because he's tough on Putin.
Mr. President, do you have any response to the Russian president expelling 755 workers from our embassy?
No, I want to thank him because we're trying to cut down on payroll. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm very thankful that he let go of a large number of people because now we have a smaller payroll. There's no real reason for them to go back. So I greatly appreciate the fact that they've been able to cut our payroll for the United States. We'll save a lot of money.
Vladimir Putin doesn't control the government's payroll. You'll hear people say he was trying to be funny. How about you never try to be funny again? You're not funny. Don't try to be funny. And by the way, I don't believe he was trying to be funny. I believe, once again, he's sucking up to his pal Vlad. And finally this. As you know, nothing haunts Donald Trump more than the ghost of Hillary Clinton. Listen, POTUS, I got to tell you again, she's still in her tree fort, so I don't know what you're worried about.
There is no collusion. You know why? Because I don't speak to Russians. Look, I won because I suppose I was a much better candidate than her. I won because I went to Wisconsin. I went to Michigan. I won Pennsylvania. I fought a smart battle. That's why I win. I didn't win because of Russia. Russia had nothing to do with me winning. The thing that we had a great team, and I guess I did a good job. And you know what? Honestly, they spent much more money than I did, by a lot. You know that. They spent a lot more money, and honestly, they did not do a very good job of campaigning.
For the 9 millionth time, nobody's questioning that you won. Everybody's questioning why you won't call Russia out for hacking an American election, regardless of who's in it. That's it. That's the whole story. God, you tire me out. Mr. President, please go play golf. 9:49, we're back with Oscar-winning writer John Ridley from 12 Years a Slave. He's in town. We'll talk to him in a second on 720 WGN. Steve Cochran continues, and Oscar winner John Ridley joins us in town talking about, amongst other things, the American way. But we've not met, John. First off, I'm a fan, and congratulations on the amazing 12 Years a Slave. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You ever get tired of hearing congratulations on winning an Oscar?
Not in service of the story of Solomon Northup and an examination of a deeply painful time in American history. So it's an overwhelming honor, but it's one I don't take lightly.
And you continue to work the topic because it's a world we live in with a news cycle that's 24 hours long and a whole world of problems, but the history of racism in this country, where we are today, where we're going, there's a common thread there.
Well, there's certainly systemic issues, and I think all of us have to recognize those and also recognize how we engage them in the modern era. Circumstances have changed. People who are involved are changed. But we have to understand that we can actually dialogue with one another without being accusatory,
sure,
without being indicting or exonerating people in terms of their involvement. That's one of the things that we deal with in the documentary I'm involved in, Let It Fall, Los Angeles, 1982 to 1992, looking at circumstances, a very, once again, as you say, a difficult time in American history, what's commonly referred to as the Los Angeles riots, but understanding that even though systems may fail us, people can rise, and we really can find our better nature in distressing times.
Tell me about The American Way.
Well, The American Way is a graphic novel series that I'm working on that's actually being published right now by the imprint is called Vertigo, which is a division of DC Comics, which normally publishes.
But there's a vast, for people that don't know, and listen, it's not my genre, but for people that don't know, there's a vast difference between, quote, a comic book and a graphic novel, right?
Well, there is.
I mean, by ages, you know, demographic. If you're over 40 or 50, you think of comic book and you think of Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think when people think of comic books, you know, they think of that in the way you'd think of like a sort of an airport book, you know, something you grab to read on the plane, versus a novel, something that hopefully aspires to have more character development, more far-reaching stories. And the graphic novel series The American Way is really looking at America decade by decade, vis-a-vis the idea of people with powers. And the old line, with great power comes great responsibility. How would you integrate that in a more real world? So the second cycle of The American Way that's on your bookshelves now, it's called The American Way, Those Above and Those Below, looks at America in the early 1970s, the problems, the issues, the politics of that era, but through individuals who have superpowers but realize having powers does not make you a hero. And doing heroic things in and of itself cannot change the course of a nation. You know, we have to engage as people.
I commend you for telling the story, too, because it's not a story that, oh, it's happy, happy, feel good. You might want to look away, but you can't look away. You need to watch, you need to learn, and you need to know the history.
Yeah, be a grown-up. Be a responsible citizen. Be a responsible kid.
Yeah.
Well, that's I've loved history growing up, and that's the way I felt about real history. You know, I do think it's very important that we as a nation understand our aspirations, the things that we have done well as a country. You know, look, the things that I have, the things that this country has provided me, let's be real. I don't think there's any other country on the planet, with all respect to some wonderful nations, that would afford me the things that I've had, that my family have had. But at the same time, there are moments that are painful. And sometimes it is in our nature to try to look away, to marginalize, to say, well, you know, that was then and we're a different nation now. We are a different nation. But part of the American dream is striving to make sure that the things that are set out in our Constitution really are applicable to all Americans and achievable by all Americans.
John, how has winning the Oscar changed your life? Aside from getting, you know, the table that you want and reservations and maybe primo parking, how is it just, what's
parking.
The greatest thing about it so far?
Hey, parking matters.
You know, I learned very on, and particularly in L.A., you can walk around with that, and it doesn't cut your parking rate, it doesn't allow you to jump to the front of the line at In-N-Out Burger. You know, it's wonderful in that people, whatever perception they may have of you, it does change a little bit. You still need to work to achieve the things that you want to achieve. Hopefully, I still try to excavate the projects that I'm working on to the fullest. But if it opens the door a little bit, if it gets people to slow down and regard your work in a slightly different way, that is very wonderful. But I will say, more than anything, you realize that you are part of a very special community in the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, and you have a responsibility to make sure. Look, you know, I'm from a small town in Wisconsin, and to have the opportunity to walk that stage, to be able to speak to the world
cool.
for 30 seconds, it is very cool, but I have to make sure that other individuals from different backgrounds have that same opportunity that I have.
The American Way, you're careless, get two copies in case you lose the first one, and then tell friends to do the same. It's John Ridley, and John, I appreciate your time. Continued success.
Thank you very much. Deeply
All
appreciate
the best.
It.
There you go. Back with Bill, and I got to tell you, he and Wendy need counseling every day. Somebody else is in here. More in a moment on 720 WGN.